Chapter 128. Woman's called from above, who is it? Apostrophe apostrophe, who is it? Apostrophe apostrophe, returned Jeremiah. More inquiries. A gentleman from Italy. Apostrophe, bring him up here. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Flintwinch muttered, as if he deemed that unnecessary, but, turning to Mr. Dorrit, said, Mrs. Clennam. She will do as she likes. I'll show you the way. Apostrophe he then preceded Mr. Dorrit up the blackened staircase. That gentleman, not unnaturally looking behind him on the road, saw the woman following, with her apron thrown over her head again in her former ghastly manner. Mrs. Clennam had her books open on her little table. Oh! Apostrophe said she abruptly, as she eyed her visitor with a steady look. You are from Italy, sir, are you? Well? Apostrophe Mr. Dorrit was at a loss for any more distinct rejoinder at the moment than ah well? Apostrophe apostrophe, where is this missing man? Have you come to give us information where he is? I hope you have. Apostrophe, so far from it, I have come to seek information. Apostrophe, unfortunately for us, there is none to be got here. Flintwinch, show the gentleman the handbill. Give him several to take away. Hold the light for him to read it. Apostrophe, Mr. Flintwinch did as he was directed, and Mr. Dorrit read it through, as if he had not previously seen it. Glad enough of the opportunity of collecting his presence of mind, which the air of the house, and of the people, in it had a little disturbed. While his eyes were on the paper, he felt that the eyes of Mr. Flintwinch, and of Mrs. Clennam were on him. He found, when he looked up, that this sensation was not a fanciful one. Now you know as much, apostrophe said Mrs. Clennam, as we know, sir. Is Mr. Blandois a friend of yours? Apostrophe apostrophe, no an acquaintance, apostrophe answered Mr. Dorrit. You have no commission from him, perhaps? Apostrophe apostrophe, I? Ha! Certainly not. Apostrophe, the searching look turned gradually to the floor, after taking Mr. Flintwinch's face in its way. Mr. Dorrit, discomfited by finding that he was the questioned instead of the questioner, applied himself to the reversal of that unexpected order of things. I am a gentleman of property, at present residing in Italy with my family, my servants, and my rather large establishment. Being in London for a short time on affairs connected with my estate, and hearing of this strange disappearance, I wished to make myself acquainted with the circumstances at first hand, because there is an English gentleman in Italy whom I shall no doubt see on my return, who has been in habits of close and daily intimacy with Monsieur Blandois. Mr. Henry Gowan. You may know the name. Apostrophe, never heard of it. Apostrophe, Mrs. Clennam said it, and Mr. Flintwinch echoed it. Wishing to make the narrative coherent and consecutive to him, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, may I ask, say, three questions? Apostrophe, 30, if you choose. Apostrophe, have you known Monsieur Blandois long? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not a 12-month. Mr. Flintwinch here will refer to the books and tell you when and by whom at Paris he was introduced to us. If that, apostrophe Mrs. Clennam added, should be any satisfaction to you. It is poor satisfaction to us. Apostrophe, have you seen him often? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Twice. Once before, and apostrophe that once, apostrophe suggested Mr. Flintwinch. And that once. Apostrophe, pray, madam, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, with a growing fancy upon him as he recovered his importance, that he was in some superior way in the commission of the peace. Pray, madam, may I inquire, for the greater satisfaction of the gentleman whom I have the honor to retain, or protect, or let me say to know, was Monsieur Blandois here on business on the night indicated in this present sheet? Apostrophe apostrophe, on what he called business, apostrophe returned Mrs. Clennam. Excuse me, is its nature to be communicated? Apostrophe apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, it was evidently impracticable to pass the barrier of that reply. The question has been asked before, apostrophe said Mrs. Clennam, and the answer has been, no. We don't choose to publish our transactions, however unimportant, to all the town. We say, no. Apostrophe, I mean, he took away no money with him, for example, apostrophe said Mr. Dort. He took away none of ours, sir, and got none here. Apostrophe, I suppose, apostrophe observed Mr. Dort, glancing from Mrs. Clennam to Mr. Flintwinch, and from Mr. Flintwinch to Mrs. Clennam, you have no way of accounting to yourself for this mystery? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why do you suppose so? Apostrophe, apostrophe, rejoined Mrs. Clennam. Disconcerted by the cold and hard inquiry, Mr. Dort was unable to assign any reason for his supposing so. I account for it, sir, apostrophe she pursued after an awkward silence on Mr. Dort's part, by having no doubt that he is traveling somewhere, or hiding somewhere. Apostrophe, do you know, why he should hide anywhere? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Apostrophe, it was exactly the same no as before, and put another barrier up. You ask me, if I accounted for the disappearance to myself, apostrophe Mrs. Clennam sternly reminded him, not if I accounted for it to you. I do not pretend to account for it to you, sir. I understand it to be no more my business to do that, than it is yours to require that. Apostrophe, Mr. Dort answered with an apologetic bend of his head. As he stepped back, preparatory to saying he had no more to ask, he could not but observe how gloomily and fixedly she sat with her eyes fastened on the ground, and a certain air upon her of resolute waiting. Also, how exactly the self-same expression was reflected in Mr. Flintwinch, standing at a little distance from her chair, with his eyes also on the ground, and his right hand softly rubbing his chin. At that moment, Mistress Affery, of course, the woman with the apron, dropped the candlestick she held, and cried out, "There! Oh, good Lord! There it is again! Hark, Jeremiah! Now!" Apostrophe, if there were any sound at all, it was so slight that she must have fallen into a confirmed habit of listening for sounds. But Mr. Dort believed he did hear a something, like the falling of dry leaves. The woman's terror, for a very short space, seemed to touch the three, and they all listened. Mr. Flintwinch was the first to stir. "Affery, my woman," apostrophe said he, sidling at her with his fists clenched, and his elbows quivering with impatience to shake her, "you are at your old tricks. You'll be walking in your sleep next, my woman, and playing the whole round of your distempered antics. You must have some physic. When I have shown this gentleman out, I'll make you up such a comfortable dose, my woman, such a comfortable dose." Apostrophe, apostrophe, it did not appear altogether comfortable in expectation to Mistress Affery, but Jeremiah, without further reference to his healing medicine, took another candle from Mrs. Clennam's table, and said, "Now, sir, shall I light you down?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Dort professed himself obliged, and went down. Mr. Flintwinch shut him out, and chained him out, without a moment's loss of time. He was again passed by the two men, one going out and the other coming in, got into the vehicle he had left waiting, and was driven away. Before he had gone far, the driver stopped to let him know that he had given his name, number, and address to the two men, on their joint requisition, and also the address at which he had taken Mr. Dort up, the hour at which he had been called from his stand, and the way by which he had come. This did not make the night's adventure run any less oddly in Mr. Dort's mind, either when he sat down by his fire again, or when he went to bed. All night he haunted the dismal house, saw the two people resolutely waiting, heard the woman with her apron over her face cry out about the noise, and found the body of the missing Blandois, now buried in the cellar, and now bricked up in a wall. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.